FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Hello, hello, all well and good here. How are you doing?
Yes, excellent. Thank you. So, obviously, there's been a tremendous amount of events overnight in Israel in terms of what's going on at the Gaza border and within Gaza. But we want to focus today on something a little bit further afield. And as we keep an eye on global terror, one of the questions that we wanted to discuss is why there are so few terror attacks occurring in Eastern Europe.
The answer is one that is unpleasant for a lot of people, myself included. Quite simply, homogeneity. The more or the fewer ethnicities that you have in an area, the fewer arguments that are of a political territorial nature. So if you take, for example, a country like Poland as the ultimate example, I suppose, it's 97-98% Polish ethnicity. Obviously, they got rid of the Jewish problem.
Right. Well, that they took care of quite smartly.
Yeah. Not necessarily their own choice, but you know, I mean, it happened, and clearly that's another story for another day. But if you've got 97% of people who largely think the same way, you've got a predominantly aging population, because a lot of the Poles have sought opportunities elsewhere, most notably in the United Kingdom, then there tend to be the discussions, the debate are much more about the things that we should all care about, which are health and wealth. And as a result, if you go to, for example, the easiest place for the average member of the public to go to Wikipedia, you look up terror attacks in Poland in the last in this century, they've largely, well, I could think you could say there have been two attacks which were carried out by people from the far right, and then you're looking at roughly the time of the Second World War to see the last things that you could argue were terror attacks that have been carried out. And yes, it is because it's a homogenous, in this particular case, all-white society. Right. Not that the colour has anything to do with it. If you had an all-green, if you had an all-green society, it would probably also be lacking in terror.
Right. But that's no longer, that's not realistic, and it's not even an aspiration anymore. If certainly for most of us around the world, we celebrate diversity. We celebrate living amongst different religions and different ethnicities. How then do we take that aspect of it, which is some form of unifying view, and translate that to other parts of the world? Is it therefore, should the focus therefore be on looking at what unites us rather than what divides us?
That should definitely be the case. The trouble is that that is very much what racists say as well. So if you take, as I always say, we predominantly at the Clarion Project from look at what's happening in America. If we look at our post bag, the emails that are coming into us, those that are coming in from people on the right, they will either say there is no place for foreigners in our country, or they will say, if a foreigner comes into our country, they must adapt to everything that we believe in. And they're talking about the old-fashioned, you know, non-coastal American philosophies of the South. And if you're talking about celebrating diversity and so on, that is certainly what these do, is not what these people believe in. Now, if you look at people who do live on the coasts of America, so I'm talking about, you know, the more liberal folks in New York, in California and so on, then they very much believe in the diversity. And when there are terror attacks in places like for example, America, Holland, Belgium, and so on, there's this massive battle about how we define who the terrorists were, or what the reason for the terrorists was.
It's always that's in fact where the focus always seems to go, is who was it, where they left, where they right, where did they come from? That's the most critical question. And you always see people, the media and everybody, both on the left and right, holding their breath until they know who it is, and then it becomes that discussion.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm from the north of England. I grew up in the height of the Troubles in Ireland, in Northern Ireland. And you did exactly that. And this was nothing to do with what we've not mentioned so far, which we're hinting at, which is radical Islam. In that case, it was, is it the IRA? Is it some new Protestant group? Is it the real IRA? Is it, some offshoot from them? Mm. And you would just hold your breath waiting to hear that. So I think we do it in every context. We've always done it. It's human nature to do it. And talking about Eastern Europe, the one place where there is a problem of terrorism has nothing to do with religion whatsoever, because everybody over there is Christian, is Catholic and Orthodox. And that's what's happening in Crimea, in Ukraine. You know, you've got a, in terms of ethnicity, 85-86% of the Ukraine is made up of Ukrainians, and then you've got a minority of about 8% that are Russians. But that's about loyalties. It dates back, at least 100 years. But today we do see terror attacks carried out there. Either there's a group that I'd never heard of till quite recently called the Donetsk Separatists. Mm-hmm. These are, folks who have a problem with occupation and so on. And you have an area of an independent country that is effectively under occupation, which is the Crimean Peninsula. And that is another focus of terror. I do see in Ukraine in particular a difference to that in Poland, in that there is a split. If you go to Kiev, you find people which is the capital of Ukraine in the West, you mm-hmm. feel people are fiercely, fiercely loyal and independent. If you go off to Donetsk and places like that and you read the advice that you're getting from, foreign ministries around the world, people are saying, don't go to these areas because you are likely to face terror attacks. But again, that is in a place where there is ethnic homogeneity.
Very, very, very interesting. I'm just not sure what we do with that. That's the problem with it. It's almost it's information, as you started off saying, that we don't want to know or be comfortable with.
Absolutely. If you pass this, then for me, the logical conclusion is we don't like foreigners. We're very happy for foreigners to be in some sort of little bubble or to be over there, and we carry on our own merry way. Because if we allow those people into where we live and they don't agree with us and they don't want to fully integrate into our type of society, then what happens is the ones of them who are the most driven, the most angry, will resort to terror. Now, In the 21st century, should we as Westerners, Democrats, whatever you want to call us, should we be tolerating that type of behavior? I was in Poznan yesterday in Poland. It was National Day in Poland. There were Polish flags everywhere. There was pride. There were people dressed as World War One soldiers, as World War Two soldiers. There were little kids walking around with mock swords and so on. Everybody was lapping it up. The whole day, I saw one black face.
Wow.
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what we learn from this, because like we said at the start, I don't want to accept what I believe is a xenophobic position,
of course,
but a xenophobic position where there's zero terror.
Yeah. Very, very frightening indeed. I think that's where we have to leave it. As I say, I find it difficult to process and difficult to accept. The facts are what they are, but the question is what we can take out of it in a positive and not in a negative or xenophobic way. Very, very interesting conversation indeed. David Harris, that's where we leave it. David from the Clarion Project, speaking to us every week at this time, where we keep an eye on global terror. It is 8:18.